Brother Macon is working today. I'll be standing in for him for the Bible study and also the lesson. Hopefully my voice will hold out. I thought that we could study a little bit about that great cloud of witnesses that we're presented with in Hebrews 12. And I know that on our Wednesday Bible class that we've been studying in Hebrews. And so this will be somewhat a little bit of a review, but also new material. And then I'm sure that Brother Macon will be covering it as well. You know, those great cloud of witnesses includes patriarchs, prophets, kings, and Christians, and the Son of Man as well. And we're not going to be able to cover all of what was contained in Hebrews 11 and 12, but hopefully that we can hit some of the high points here so that we can encourage everybody and exhort everybody to study a little bit more. First, we're going to read from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, just to get a little bit of a primer and a context. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. It's probably not a good idea just to pull these verses out of the middle of Hebrews without some further context. That connecting word, wherefore, means we need to back up a bit to see for what reason God makes these statements. Brother Glenn, could you please read Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
We can see from these verses and the following that the way to be pleasing unto God is by having a strong faith. As we read onward, that it also spurred these witnesses to carry out deeds, travels, and continue to hope for a better country, not of this physical world. Brother Tom, can you read Hebrews 11, 4 through 10?
By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaking. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Keep going.
Yes, through 10, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned into the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles without, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
So this is the body of what we'll be studying, the majority of what we'll be studying this morning. We'll come back to chapter 11 later on, Lord willing, but let's take a look at some of these accounts that we read about to gain a better understanding of what these righteous men and women went through. We'll take a look at the patriarchs first. In a way, this is a little bit of an awe to me, the amount of faith and courage these people had. They didn't have the benefit of having the complete law and ordinances written down and collected like we do today, and relied simply on the word of God being spoken to them, communicated through dreams or by messengers, that is angels. We can be encouraged by these examples of great faith that we have set before us. We're told in the beginning of Hebrews 11 how Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice to God than his brother Cain. Brother Ted, let's read Genesis 4, 1 through 5. Genesis 4, 1 through 5. We can see that in the beginning that God was expecting a certain type of sacrifice to be done for him. Further, at the root of the sacrifice, we can draw out that the point that God was looking for those that would follow him in faith, not wavering. He is seeking those that will follow him, not changing his commandments, whether it be deletions or additions to it. And Brother David Baruti, could you please read verses 6 through 7 of Genesis 4? Chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Ultimately, we can see that Abel paid the price for doing righteously before God, and even today his actions speak unto us of how we should conduct ourselves in the face of persecution. Brother Peter, could you please read Genesis 4, 6 through 10? Yes, please. So we can see that, you know, because of Abel's righteousness before God, he indirectly was judging Cain, his brother, and, you know, Cain was not pleased with that, and Abel was ultimately killed by Cain, his brother. Very sad commentary on, how we should, how a man treats his brother, but it's important to remember that, you know, Abel was doing righteously before God, even in the face of this persecution. Let's move on a little bit and talk about Enoch. There's not a whole lot that's said about Enoch in the Bible other than what we've read in some verses in the early part of Genesis. We can reflect upon what is said, though, and determine if we are on that path that God would have the same thing said about us. Brother Aaron, could you please read Genesis 5, 18 through 24? Genesis 5, 18 to 24.
Jared lived after Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days
So compared to the other people that are mentioned in the early chapters of Genesis, Enoch lived a very short life. I mean, compared to Methuselah, who was the longest-lived man, he lived about a third of that time. Nevertheless, God spoke of him that he was pleasing unto him, and we can infer from Hebrews 11:6 that he must have a great faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. Further, we can see from the Genesis passage that Enoch walked with God. What better quality to be ascribed to someone than he walked with God? To be able to have that said about us on Judgment Day certainly would be a joyous thing. It's not hard to make the conclusion that due to Enoch's faith and righteous life, that this contributed greatly to God's decision to spare him from death. Noah is one of those people that folks that even haven't studied the Bible greatly know about. It's a pretty well-known story, an account rather. It's such a magnificent thing that God has preserved his word throughout all time, and in such a way that even unbelievers know the accounts. We recall that in Noah's time, how when men began to increase upon the earth, all the wickedness that came about because of this. Brother Trey, could you read Genesis 6, 1 through 8? Genesis 6, 1 through 8. Consider those final verses there a little bit longer. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I made them. Just think about that for a minute. He was at the point that he was going to destroy all life on the earth due to the wickedness that had consumed it. Yet in all this wickedness, Noah was living in righteousness before God. Genesis 6, 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Just like Enoch, Noah walked with God. Brother Travis, can you please read 2 Peter 2, 5? 2 Peter 2, verse 5. Must have been incredibly difficult for Noah and his family to be surrounded by all those corrupt and wicked people, seeing their deeds and hearing their speech. Even so, God reported of him that he was just, perfect, and that he walked with God. Further, we know that he must have been warning people about their wicked behavior in the impending doom, or why else would God have called him a preacher of righteousness? We can find solace in this example when we feel like we are surrounded and beset on every side by evil and being told we are wrong for what we believe and what we are preaching. It doesn't matter what the people of the world think of our right doing, only what God thinks of it. Brother Stephen, can you please read Genesis 6, 13 through 18? Genesis 6, 13 through 18.
Shall thou finish it well, and the door of the ark shall thou set inside the Lord's second
through 18.
And hold, I, even I, do bring forth water upon earth to restore all flesh. Is the breath of life under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy son, and thy wife, and thy son's wives with thee.
You can see that God saw Noah's righteousness. And by him and his family, God would save the animals, birds, creeping things, and mankind itself. We can see in the last verse of the account in Genesis 6, the faith of Noah and his action. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, and so did he. Again, that this should be a summary of our lives upon Judgment Day, that we did all that God has commanded of us. We have a lot of them. Material about Abram, God changed his name to Abraham, and his wife Sarai, later Sarah. One of the first things, other than Abram's genealogy, that we see is that God is telling Abram that he needs to leave his kinsmen and country. Brother Dave, could you please read Genesis 12, 1 through 4? Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Burning question here, why would God have instructed Abram to leave everything that he knows behind to go to a strange land and dwell there? Anybody have any thoughts? It's faith. To answer the question, we have to fast forward all the way to the time when Joshua was old and at the end of his time leading the people of Israel. In Joshua 24:2, Joshua 24:2, it says, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." From this we can draw out what Terah worshipped: false gods, idols. Certainly this would not have been a good environment for Abraham, from Abram, to continue to live in and to rule a God-fearing family. This topic could be a whole separate study by itself about where we need to place our priority in our service. Suffice it to say, we can summarize what warning God gives and what he would have us to do in the following verses. Brother Glenn, can you please turn to Exodus 24 and read verses 14 to 16? Exodus 24, 14 to 16. I've got a wrong verse there. Apologize about that. Can you turn to 34, verses 14 to 16? 34, 14 to 16. Thank you. we can also read further in Deuteronomy 11, verse 16, same kind of thing, Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. Another warning here. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Surely we can see that if Abram had stayed, it would have been a snare and a temptation for him or his family to turn away from the one true God and creator of all things. If we place ourselves in the shoes of Abram, you can imagine what an unsettling feeling this might have been to uproot yourself and your family and go to a new place. They didn't have the benefits of phones, emails, and social media to stay in touch with those they cared about either. In Genesis 13, 12 through 18, Brother Tom, can you please read that? Genesis 13, 12 through 18.
Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. For the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord.
Let's focus on this. You know, the second part of this passage here, what would we think if we were told something like this? Would we have the faith to believe and do what God was telling us? We should, because he makes promises similar in greatness to us if we are faithful to follow all his commandments. For Abram's part, he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Did you have a...
Well, just one more. We got to remember, God directly talked to Abram. Mm-hmm. All we have now are the observations that we can make. We have no... God doesn't come down and talk to us like that. We must always, always keep that in mind.
Yep, and it's very important to note that, you know, we have, like I said at the beginning here of this study, that we have the collected law and ordinances, and we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, and what a blessing that is to have that before us, that we can go to these examples, study them, see how those people live, and we have the bad examples if we don't follow his commandments, what's going to happen to us as well. Let's turn to Galatians 3, verses 6 and 7. Brother Ted, can you please read Galatians 3, verses 6 and 7? So we can see that, you know, the Israelites thought of themselves as the children of, the Jews thought of themselves as children of Abraham, but, you know, they were full of unrighteousness. But, you know, if we are faithful and follow God's commandments, we can consider ourselves the children of Abraham as well. Turning to James, the second chapter in verse 23, James, the second chapter in verse 23, it says there, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Let's strive to not only walk with God, but to be called his friend as well. In the final example that we're going to look at today, we can see his great faith in the test of sacrificing his son Isaac. Brother David Baruti, could you please turn to Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22, and read verses 1 through 3. Genesis 22, 1 through 3. We know from other scriptures that Isaac was one of those three promises that God made unto Abraham, as you know, to multiply his seed upon the earth. Dropping down some verses there in the same chapter, Genesis 22, Brother Aaron, can you please read 10 through 12? So even though that God had made a promise to him that his seed would be increased upon the earth by Isaac, Abraham had enough faith that God could do all things and he would just raise him from the dead to fulfill that promise. We can read here in Hebrews 11, going back to Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. Brother Trey, can you please read that? Travis, can you please turn to Romans 4, 18 through 22? Romans 4, 18 through 22. You know, a couple things here that we want to draw out, other than the, you know, his faith in it was imputed to him for righteousness, which is quite important. It should be it's very interesting that he staggered not. I mean, we should never be staggered at those commandments that were given. I mean, basically, if God says something to us and that we're supposed to do, we should put our entire strength and will behind that to carry it out. And he was strong in faith. We must have a strong faith to be pleasing to God. And, you know, something else here is that he was fully persuaded. We need to be fully persuaded of all those promises that are contained in God's Word. It's very important that we all, you know, we study God's Word, and when we read something that if we don't understand it, that we need to study more, or we need to ask somebody that has maybe some better understanding to clarify that, so that we can be fully persuaded of every word that is contained in the Word of God here. Let's move on to Moses. He's one of those great examples in the Law and the Prophets section of the Old Testament that we can turn to as an example of great faith. Not only the example of faith that we can learn from...
I just want to make just one comment. Like, we can just be Bereans. They're our perfect example. We don't need to find somebody else that can speak something. We have the answers. We need to be prepared.
Yep. That's important to note, is that, you know, that they were studying the scriptures daily so that they could find out whether those things were true or not. And we should be studying the scriptures each and every day so that we, for many reasons, but to increase our faith and also to be prepared for when somebody comes to us and they ask for the hope that is in us, we can tell them very succinctly and very well why that hope is in us. Some of those important qualities that Moses had, other than being strong in faith, is a meekness and his great courage. In Hebrews 11, 23 through 25, Brother Stephen, can you read Hebrews 11, 23 through 25?
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months from his parents because they saw him as a proper child, and they were not afraid of king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
We know well the story of how the king of Egypt came to fear the great population of Israelites that was in his land. He made a decree that when children of the Israelites were born and found to be male, that they were to be killed. Nevertheless, Moses' parents did not fear the command of the king, esteeming God's laws and statutes higher. In Exodus 2, verses 1 through 3, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it by the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. We can also see from the reading in Hebrews, and also in a moment, Acts 7, that rather than spend a relatively easy life in Pharaoh's house, Moses chose to defend the people of Israel and thus had to flee for his life due to those acts and the position that he took. Brother Dave, could you please read verses 22 through 29 of Acts 7?
And Moses delivered all the wisdom of the Egyptians.
Not in this reading here, but we know that as the king of Egypt found out about this act that Moses did, he sought to slay him. Moses was chosen by God to be the instrument that he would use to lead the people from their bondage under Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. He was chosen for this because of his righteousness, courage, and meekness that he exhibited. In Hebrews 11, 26 through 29, Hebrews 11, 26 through 29, Brother Glenn.
Standing in the approach of Christ, greater riches than the Pharaohs in Egypt, for we may expect to the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept
And then can we turn over to Exodus 3, verses 7 through 10? Exodus 3, 7 through 10. Brother Tom, can you read that?
Exodus 3, 7 through 10?
Yes, please.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hevites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
So we can see that Moses went out from the Mount Horeb, where he had received instructions and commands from God, and he came to his brethren in Egypt. We can recall the unbelief the people had at first, and the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, which then precipitated all those plagues that befell the people of Egypt. Even though at times this whole process looked dire for Moses, he was holding fast to his faith that God would free his people from the bondage of the Egyptians. As was mentioned, Moses had faith to keep the Passover so that him and his household would be spared for from the final plague that fell upon the people of Egypt, which was the plague of the death of the firstborn. In Exodus 12, verses 12 through 14, Exodus 12, 12 through 14, Brother Ted, can you please read that? You know, that was a pretty dire plague to fall upon the Egyptians. But, you know, Moses and his family, they kept that ordinance that God had instituted there so that, you know, they could escape that judgment that was brought upon the Egyptians. And we could spend a lot of time on the deeds of Moses and, you know, how he bore with the unbelief of the Israelites, and how he even interceded for them when God was ready to destroy them, and how he acted as their first judge for many years as well. But we don't really have enough time for that. Rahab was a resident of the city of Jericho, and it might not readily come to our mind as a witness of faithfulness, especially considering her profession. However, God records her deeds and holds her up for our learning. In Hebrews 11, 30 and 31, Hebrews 11, 30 and 31, Brother David Baruti. And I'm going to read Joshua 2, verses 1 through 21. It's quite a lengthy reading here, but I think it's important that we can see this account of what happened. Joshua 2, verses 1 through 21. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out this country." And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate, and before before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, which ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, and you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver out of our life and deliver our lives from death." And the man answered, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward ye may go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out the doors of thy house in the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in thy house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will quit of thine oath which thou hast made us swear." And she said, "According unto thy words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. We know from the account there that when the Israelites came to Jericho and destroyed the city, that Rahab and her family were saved and came to dwell in Israel, according to Joshua 6, verse 25. We even read of her in the New Testament in James 2:25, stating that she was justified by her works. Let's read James 2:25. Brother Aaron, can you please read that? So we're running out of time here, and one thing I just wanted to kind of wrap up with a little bit, what we should take to heart about all these examples of the love that these people had and the righteousness that they had for God. It motivated them to do great deeds and persevere in the face of grievous bodily harm, even unto death. Let's read Hebrews 11, 32 through 38. Hebrews 11, 32 through 38. "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, obtain promise, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. How strong should our faith be, since we have this great cloud of witnesses and the entirety of God's revelation of man collected in one place? What a great blessing this is to us if we will recognize it and take hold of every word that God has given us. For we know that we can surely live by them, as Jesus has said when he was tempted of our adversary. And he said, it is in James or Luke 4:3-5, it says, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Are there any questions, comments? We have our closing prayer for this Bible class led by Brother Glenn.